thinking good thoughts of unconditional love. What a wonderful way to meditate. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with meditation. Thinking good thoughts leading to unconditional love. That was Ellen going in and turning down the music and slamming the screen door so that you could all know that she has done her duty. And is that a good thought? Well, Ellen thought it was a good thought. Most people would have gently gone over to the screen door and slid it open, or even not paid any attention, let the music be in the background, and thought to themselves, my goodness, we're giving these people a concert along with the talk. How wonderful that is. But no, she has to have everything perfect and punctual and ideal and wonderful. Is this true? Is this true? Is Ellen really that way? Is Ellen really that way? Or is Ellen creating about herself a condition that she wants to exist? Is she creating about herself a condition of orderliness? Or is she creating about herself a condition of confusion? What sort of condition is Ellen creating about herself? Is she creating a condition about herself of peace? Oh no. As I sit here talking, I watch Ingeborg as she turns her eyes to the heavens and says, my God, what's coming up now? And she looks at the ceiling, and she looks at the roofing, and she sees how the roofing is put on the deck here and on the porch. And then Sylvia joins her in that wistful look, and Heinz looks over at the other side of the roof, and he's checking that out. And Ingeborg and Sylvia and Heinz are all quite busy doing their little lookout task, and Ellen is looking at me. And Ellen is thinking, what am I going to say next about her? Because Ellen knows that the only thing I know about her are good things. So the only thing I can say about her are good things. So she's really not worried or concerned, but she's just curious, as many people are, about what's going on in their life. Now, what's going on in your life? Rex was in the audio video room, and he looked out the window, and he saw a rabbit or a cat or something out the window. So he comes racing from inside the house all the way past the office, through the post office, and through the living room, and through the dining room, and through the deck here, on out onto the porch to find what is over there and what is around that he's supposed to be looking at. And in all of his looking, all Rex would have to do is just sit quietly and say, I am loved, and then be loved, you know. All Rex would have to do is just be to come over at my side here and sit quietly and say, I am loved, and be obedient, and the world is his. But when he goes out chasing around, looking for things, as you are wool gazing at the ceiling of the patio here, or as you're looking at me wool gazing at things, you don't get the great gift that's waiting for you. Because the great gift that's waiting for you is the gift of joy and peace and harmony within yourself. Now, how do you share that gift of joy and peace and harmony that's within you? Well, you use the phrase that we're going to use a few times now. You use the phrase unconditional love, and you see how that would apply to what you're doing. Rex came back from his chase, and he announced by shaking his collar and his bells that there was nothing there. It was just a dry run, but it was fun. And he always has fun. Now, is everything you do fun too? Now, can you have things come to your attention and then put them in their right place? If you're sitting at the table here and someone says, please pass the butter, and so you turn the Lazy Susan, and then the butter stands right in front of them, and they say, no, I would like you to pass me the butter. And so you say, well, you silly nut, Why do you think we got the Lazy Susan here? We got the Lazy Susan to turn to bring the butter to you. You know, take it out there yourself. I would like it passed to me. So we, with all our unconditional love, in other words, we don't care. We'll pick up the butter and pass it to her. But if the person next to her, on her right, picks up the butter, she has to pass the butter all the way around the table to the right to get to the person who wants the butter. Now, if the person on their left picks up the butter, then it's just a matter of picking up the butter and handing it to them directly. Now, you say, well, this is a lot of nonsensical talk. No, it isn't. What's your attitude about this person who wants you to pick up the butter and hand it to them? Is your attitude of, who do you think you are, almighty queen of the rose parade, you know? Who do you think you are? Well, why should we pick up the Lazy Susan is out here? So everyone can have access to everything without anyone being inconvenienced in any way. Well, now we come to that word, inconvenienced. Is it an inconvenience to do something gentle and loving for somebody else? Is it an inconvenience to do something like that? What if Sylvia were sitting here at the table, and next to her was Ibu Bey, who's 3 years old, and then next is Ingeborg, and Ibu Bey says he would like some Nutella on his bread. Well, now, he reaches out there to get the Nutella, and Mama Sylvia and Mama Ingeborg said, no, we'll do it for you. And he says, I want to do it. And they know that when he does it, he makes quite a production out of it. And he gets that Nutella out there, and he gets it on his bread, and he gets it on his face, and he gets it on his fingers, and he gets it everywhere. And he loves it. He loves it, and he is so happy. Now, would they, in their adultness, want to take away the happiness of this little boy, having the joy of spreading his own bread and spreading his own Nutella on his bread? Well, yes, they would. If they served the little boy a sharp pointed knife with which to put the stuff on, then they're really making trouble. Because when he points it toward his face or something like that, or cuts himself, it's so silly. A table knife is not meant to be a weapon. A table knife is meant to be a tool on the table. But a sharp knife like this, a steak knife as it's called, is meant to cut up that meat. It's a meat cutter, like cut your finger off and things like that. And it's sharp. And we don't give that to little children who are not yet ready to handle it. But we give little children everything that they are ready to handle, because when we do that, then they are ready for other things soon. What would you do if an old person sitting next to you was feeble and unable to do things for themselves, and they wanted you to butter their bread for them? You would instantly butter their bread for them because you'd think that the old fart can't do it for himself. Well, boy, oh boy, oh boy, aren't you a friendly person? You say, well, Grandma, you would like a piece of bread? Grandma, I know that every time you do something for yourself, you gain more and more confidence in yourself in doing it, and you're wonderful. It's such a joy to watch you butter your bread and take care of yourself. Grandma, you're super. Here's the knife, and here's the butter, and here's the bread. Go for it. But it's so easier when you do it. You know, I have the jitters when I do it. Grandma, you don't have the jitters. You are a calm and peaceful lady. You are, and you put your hand on her shoulder or on her hand or her head or whatever. You say, you're at peace. You're at peace. And pretty soon, with one or two motions of this way, putting the cause in motion of unconditional love, Grandma begins to wake up and say, hey, I'm part of the human race. I'm not going to retire yet. And she starts getting in there. And Ibu Bey, the little three-year-old, he says, I'm not ready to retire yet. He says, I haven't even lived yet. He says, I got the world ahead of me. Well, Ibu Bey and Grandma are the same way. They're both living in a beautiful way. They're both being fabulous people. They're both revealing the divinity. Everything is within them. now, as it is within you and me. Everything is within them, and our joy is to encourage them and watch them and maybe help them a little bit, but not take over the job of doing what they want to do. So they get butter all over the tablecloth or all over the table. Big deal. That's what the tablecloth is for, to catch butter that little boy spread down the tablecloth, you know. And or jelly, my gosh. If you'd see all the stuff that I have spilled here at breakfast time, you'd say, what a pig. I had some egg yolk on the tablecloth here. I had some water on the tablecloth, some orange juice and some coffee, and crumbs, oh, lots of crumbs, and probably even crumbs I haven't even noticed. And what a mess. But that's part of eating, isn't it? That's part of being at the table. And if a little boy, if a little person does that, or if an older person does that, so what? So what? One of the greatest joys I have in having Dorothea here is to see her do her own thing and sparkle with love. You know what that woman does? She sits at the table, and she will take a piece of bread, and she will have that piece of bread ready to eat. And then instead of eating it, she will take her knife and she will cut that piece of bread up into 100 little pieces. And then she'll eat each piece and chew it 20 times. And she will sit there and in delightful caring, watching, looking around the table, she'll take her piece with total attention and eat it, and then she'll look around and share it with everybody. She makes eating a delight. She makes eating an experience. Now, I personally haven't given myself the permission to have time to eat that long, but when I eat, I eat, and when I sleep, I sleep, and when I do things, I do things. And that's okay. But Dorothea is 91 years old, or 90 years old, and she has done all those things, and done them very happily and very beneficially. But if anybody, starts to cut her meat for her. She doesn't eat meat. Does she? Okay. If she eats meat, but whatever she eats, if anybody cuts it up for her, you have taken away half the joy of her life. Because half the joy of her day is preparing her food to eat. And the other half, now listen carefully, the other half of her joy for the day, one half, remember, is eating and preparing it, and the other half is having people watch her eat. She loves to have people watch her eat. And she does it with such delicacy. Her knife and fork and spoon and sword are so properly placed, and she is such a queen about it. She is such a queen. It's sort of an honor to watch her. And before you know it, we're watching her and not eating ourselves. But we eat so quickly, it doesn't matter. We've got lots of time. But it's amazing what we do to people when we take away their privilege to be themselves. Ibube wants to be himself. And all little children want to be themselves. And mother, what does she do? She cuts up their food for them. Mother should teach the kid how to do it himself. Give him a good sharp knife so that when he rams it into his finger, he'll really feel it. No. Make the food soft so the kid can cut it. Make the carrots soft and get the kid in the habit of cutting the carrots. Even the things that are bite-sized already, he can cut it into sub-bite-size. And she can say, now, these are bite-sized. Now we make these into sub-bite-size, and then we make these into sub-sub-bite-sizes, you know. And do all that sort of things. And the kid says, oh boy, this is fun, this is neat, this is lots of interesting thing here. And he learns how to cut his food, you know. This is what the game of life is all about, is participating in the game. If we have unconditional love about us, we encourage others to participate in the game of life. We don't say, life is over. We don't say to our little children as we put them in bed, go to sleep, thank God I got a few minutes for myself now. You know, that's what we say in our mind and heart. thank God the kids are to bed. Now we can get some work done around here, and now I can sit and relax for a few minutes. But get the kids to bed. And then, as some parents do, go from child to child. If you have a dozen, you're pretty busy. But go from child to child, and as the child has fallen asleep, sit down, hold their hand, and bless them, and say, "You are a wonder child. You are a genius. Tonight you're going to have a good night's sleep with lots of wonderful dreams. And tomorrow is an exciting, great day. And you're going to be a gentle boy. You're going to be a sensitive, loving girl. Tomorrow, and you're playing with your friends, you're going to be unconditionally loving with them. They're going to look at you and they're going to say, 'Mary, you're different today. What's going on?' And they won't say that, because your difference will be so natural that they won't even notice that it's different than the day before. Because every day is different in the life of a child and an adult and a dog and a cat. Every day is different. They say that a dog's memory span is maybe about 30 seconds. You know, isn't that interesting? Well, a child and an adult's memory span is about the same. But we've built up habits that make it appear that our memory span is longer. And it really isn't. It really isn't. Would you like me to take one moment to digress and tell you what memory span means? Memory span means the retention ability of your mind of a thought or of a situation, and that you can repeat that, and you can live on that and act upon that and move upon that. And our memory spans are really quite short, quite short. Now, what we think is a memory span is when we think a thought, and thinking a thought is like pressing the key of the computer. You press the key of the computer, and the computer says, A. Oh, okay, A. And then it waits for the next command, B, C, and then at, and then it has your domain name, and then up comes your email. Oh, my goodness sakes. So you have a short memory span of your email name, and then up comes all that stuff. Now, in you is that same thing. And when I say to you, light, immediately your file cabinet flashes open in the light section, and up comes all sorts of things for light, and you have to select which one you're interested in thinking about. You don't think about the eternal light, the universal light, the light of God. You don't think of the light of the flashlight or the light of the lamp. Or, you know, what do you think of? You choose one. And you think that's your memory span. Well, that's merely going into your library cabinet, into your file cabinet, in your consciousness, and pulling out that which is of interest to you. And with me, my most disgusting thing that I do is to open a dictionary and see the word that I want to look at and check it and see how it's spelled and how it's pronounced and what it means. And then I look at the words all around it, because that's so exciting. All these other words. But the one word opened up my file cabinet to that definition, and then popped, there's another word. Alphabet, you know, aardvark and zoo and all these other words. See, but they all bring up, and as I say them to you, they all bring it up. Well, we have learned this, and we have learned to use our ability to think. And just because we don't recall as quickly as we want to recall sometimes, just means that we have need a little bit of WD-40 on our file cabinet, you know, so it can open more quickly. And what is WD-40? Practice. And practice is what opens it. So this is the digression that I had for you for the moment, but think about it. Whether you're an old person, a young person, a middle-aged person, whether you are whatever, no matter what it is, you know. And at all times in your mind, everything is going on. The person who's in a coma, he is living on many dimensions of life other than body that he's living in a coma. And his mind is just as vivid and active and present here and everywhere as it is. He just doesn't have the vehicle here with which to express it. Now, if he wanted the vehicle here with which to express it, he could have it. So it's up to us to be unconditionally loving of all of these people, especially ourselves, as we're revealing to ourselves that we really are quite wonderful and we can do many beautiful, fabulous things, and we can do them now. It's nice, huh? It's a good world that we're living in. But if we will always remember, if these two words are just before us, leading us on all the time, unconditional love, unconditional love. I'd like to search somewhere in my great vocabulary dictionary or whatever for another word for unconditional that means unconditional.
Absolute means unconditional.
Huh?
One definition of absolute is unconditional.
Absolute love. Good. A-L. You will. Approved. Yeah. Absolute love. Okay. Bye, yeah. Sounds good, doesn't it? Okay. So, think about that. Mary Baker Eddy, you're quite a girl with your Christian Science group having everything be absolute. One day we'll all wake up and realize that you had a good message for us. But of course, we've been living it all of our lives, haven't we? Mm. Have a good day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you. I love you.